Live, Michael Angley live. And tonight we're going to talk about riots and we're going to talk about the zaniness of the human species, man. So, of course, when a bunch of white supremacists get together, you know, a peppered mix, you got your KKK, you got your neo-Nazis, you got the alt-right people, you got this little hodgepodge of hate kind of fest going on. Marching down the street in Virginia, where they weren't invited, no permit to assemble, no nothing, man. Of course, there's going to be anti-protesters who are against those groups. They're going to come out in large numbers, and they clash. So, of course, now there's people dead, there's people hurt. You know, someone took a car and rammed it into the anti-protesters. And then I guess one of them died, and 19 more were injured, and there's probably a lot more because this is ongoing as we speak, you know. And this is Saturday. We're headed into Saturday night. You know, I would expect if the police don't get a handle on it, and I mean get a handle on it, I would expect rioting throughout the night, maybe other cities. You know, Baltimore doesn't need much of an excuse to riot. You know, there are places that just kind of are powder kegs for this type of thing. And this is the, you know, not for nothing, man. Hate never solved anything. You know, it never built any bridges. It never got involved in someone's life to make it better. You know, it always makes things worse, and it's just never brought anyone any kind of grand conclusion of hey, that's it, let's just hate everybody, you know. Of course not. It's ridiculous. So people have their gripes, and then you have people, especially when it comes to color, which is so, you know what, imagine removing yourself. I want you to play a game. I want you to remove yourself from this stinking world and put yourself out there as another species. And you're looking on this planet, and you're looking at these people, and you're looking at what they say and how they react and what they do and all that. And you're watching their facial movements, their hands, their bodies, you know, the whole bit when they react towards another, you know, the whole posturing that people do and provoking manner of aggressiveness and all that. What do you think about these people? And then, you know, so what's the gripe? Are people angered because there's poverty in the world? No, that's not it. Are people mad because there's homeless people out there sleeping in the streets and, you know, families that are getting kicked out of their homes, people that can't afford to live, and whatever, people committing suicide because their lives have turned so bad because the system makes it bad, you know what I mean? It's like when you're poor and you have nothing, and then you have all these bills mounting up, and you have people depending on you, and you're trying to make it, and then the world is really stacked against you. You know, those people are at risk of hurting themselves, committing suicide, doing terrible things, right? Or they get angry, you know, and they take that anger out on other people. So then you have that element with a whole bunch of hate. You have a whole bunch of, yeah, white supremacists, man. You know, white supremacists, let me tell you, they're wrong, you know, and that's all you can basically say. They're wrong, and it's just what good does it do? And it's sad that they're going to look at other people and look down on people because of the color of their skin, you know. So imagine, like, oh, think about this, right? All these dudes, the women who are heavily into Jesus Christ, you know, big time. That Jesus this, Jesus that. And people, out of the white supremacists in the crowd, people were polled. A lot of them said they're Democrats, which is pretty funny, you know. But here they are spouting off Jesus this, Jesus that. So what if Jesus Christ came out tomorrow, boom, came back, and he's black, black as night, you know, with some dreadlocks, right? And he's like, yeah, man, you know, you guys are all wrong. You got to stop the hate. And people, what are people going to do? Are they going to say, oh my God, I can't believe it, we've been so wrong? You know, it sucks to one, It sucks to realize that you're wrong. Two, it sucks to have to admit that you're wrong to other people, but it's important to do so if you are, because that's what makes you stronger and also makes you more legitimate as a person. So the hate thing, the white supremacist thing, the anger, singling people out because of a religion, they're chanting anti-Jewish slogans and all that. But what's it for? You're just protesting black people and Jewish people, or you're putting your own race, whatever that is, because that is the human race, right? So you're putting your own color forward on all that. And then keep in mind, these groups, man, they don't like Italians. They don't like people. They don't like Russians. There's a lot of people they don't like, and these are kind of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. So my message to black people out there and Latino people is, don't judge people because of this. Don't judge white people, for instance. Don't look at a white person and say, you're the reason, you know, all these people, what they're saying, whatever, and don't link it up. Just like you don't want to be held accountable when somebody else who's black commits a crime, white people the same way, because we're all the same. You know what I mean? None of us want to be held accountable for anything anybody else does that's beyond our control, you know? And what we control in our own world is what we can, you know, kind of shape into a vessel, you know, and try to use that to get through life. And then pressures of life change that. It changes your course altogether. So, you know what? The rioting, the death, the driving a car into people. Then, you know, Trump goes on TV and he was talking about veterans and the whole bit. And then he had to address this issue because it's a pretty big issue. You know, and he's like, you know, and normal, very, very, very bad, and blah, 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 blah. People said that he didn't act to denounce the white supremacists and their movement and the whole bit. He didn't say anything about it. He just said that people on all sides need to calm down with their hate. And yeah, because there was a lot of people there who were black and Latino, who were angry, who were, you know, throwing stuff and arguing and fighting with people who were the white supremacists, you know. So it's just the whole thing didn't need to happen, you know. And then as we see this hate grow, it's a cancer, you know. It just grows and festers, and it doesn't matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be in Virginia, you know, in the United States. You could be in, you know, in London and have acid thrown in your face, man. They're stopping people and doing a stop and frisk in London, one of the most peaceful places I've ever understood. I mean, London, we're talking about, man. You know, but not London now. London, you know, I'm romanticizing back in the day. London now is a whole different world. So stop and frisk because people are standing there waiting for a light to change to cross the road, waiting for a bus or something, and they get acid thrown in their face. You know, disfiguring, can kill you. You know, blind you, the whole bit. Unbelievable. All for what? What do they get out of it? Are they that angry at their own life or the direction that they think this world is going, that throwing acid in someone's face is going to solve a problem? You know? So with, I call all this terrorism, man, and with all these acts of terror, you are going to have an overreaction from governments who are trying to stop it from happening, like the whole stop and frisk thing. And sure, there's going to be a lot of people stopped and frisked that don't deserve it. Just like in New York City, when they were doing, they had the whole stop and frisk policy, and people said, well, it's racist because you're only stopping black people, Latino people, you know? But de Blasio came in and got rid of that. And when he did, crime shot way up. And when he did stop and frisk, they found a lot of weapons on people and a whole bit. But at what point does it stop? If you allow the government to put your hands, their hands in your pockets, and you are not a suspect, you just a guy walking down the street, and then here comes the cop. Hey, I want to talk to you a minute. And you're like, okay. And the cop's like, get up against the wall. And I'm going to frisk you. I'm putting my hands in your purse. And then you're like, well, I don't give you permission. I don't consent to you frisking me. So what's the problem? Well, we don't like the way you look. You fit the criminal profile. And then we're going to stop and we're going to frisk you to see if you have any drugs or weapons or anything, paraphernalia, anything that could get you in trouble, basically, And then there's, in our Constitution, you're not allowed to do that, right? You're not allowed to do it. So, yeah, if you stopped every person and searched their person and whatever, you're going to find all kinds of stuff. If you searched every home, you went in and just, had a blanket search warrant to search through all people's private stuff, computers, whatever, you're probably going to find something. You might find a little this, a little that, whatever. But is it legal? And is it allowed in the Constitution? And who's sticking up for your rights in a situation like that? So in England, you guys in the UK, it's different here in the United States. I think that people in England are much more apt to follow the government, whereas people here don't trust the government at all. And then, we're not apt to follow the government. It's just kind of like a free for all right now. It's like a free for all, right now, me personally, like I'm in the world of disbelief because every time I say the words President Trump, I'm like, really? Did I really say that? And I think that there's things that he wants to do that are good, but he has, he's a huge joker. And it's hard to have that in a position that's supposed to be distinguished, supposed to be, hey, play your cards close to your chest. Don't put too much out there. It's the president of the United States, and also the president's supposed to be for a citizen. Like to me, the most respected citizen, like, wow, hold yourself with dignity, and just be every which way of class and have every which way of virtue as possible. That's a dream. It's not like that. It didn't happen like that. I don't think we ever had it like that. I think you have to go way back, and I mean way back to find people that had that kind of dignity, right? Now it's just a dirty politician's game. And these people, they're snake oil salesmen, they're robber barons, they're people that you wouldn't even want in your own living room, And then here we are voting for them, electing them to represent us in our interests in this country. It's like we're all shareholders, We want the country to do well because we want it to pay off for our future generations so they can have a good life and, they can have really high standards of education. And that's really what it's all about, man, is bringing people to a higher level. In this country, we can't impose our values on the world. And I hear a lot of I hear a lot of angry liberals say that stuff. You're imposing your values on the world. But if your values are shared, let's say that you are a country encompassed of every other country. I mean, we have everybody here that you could think of from every country, right? Living here in the United States of America. And that's the value of the country. It's not like this is why white supremacists don't get it. It's not the value of America that came from one source or whatever and it's about the value of America of all the different sources, all the people around the world, all those different cultures. As long as one culture doesn't impose itself upon another culture and tell them that they're wrong, then you can truly have equality. And then you truly have a melting pot. And that fabric, it becomes what we are as a nation, And I think that is the values that we want to show people, not impose, saying, hey, these are the ideas that we have for our country, but we can't say it because One, it would be wrong because right now things are topsy-turvy, you know. Number two, it's kind of like survival of those groups in our country rather than thriving, you know. And then it's whoever can get the best footing and whoever can play the system better is the one who gets forward, and the rest get left behind. So I think that there needs to be a real melting pot mentality, and it's not going to happen if you have a bunch of haters in charge. It's not going to happen. I mean, like, look, both sides, Republicans, Democrats. I have heard in the past, especially past, you know, year, couple years, I've heard the most racist jargon, the most horrific statements, anger, just the nastiness, you know, mean-spirited, all of that, all this negative stuff, all the bad come out of the mouths of these politicians from all over, from all parties, from all over. And I can't believe it. And then, you know, when you hear the people who elected them into office, especially these regional places, you know, and they're cheering them when they say it, you know that we need leadership, and that leadership can't impose its values, its agenda on the people. That leadership needs to ensure that the Constitution is guaranteed, all the rights that we have in the Bill of Rights is guaranteed to all of us equally across the board, right? But man, there's a lot of hate and anger out there, and we talk about that here frequently. It's getting worse. And then the morale, you know, is like, wow, people are looking around the world for good news, and there's not much of it. You have all these countries, you got, you know, North Korea, Donald Trump again underestimating the enemy, you know, underestimating North Korea and Kim Jong-un, underestimating China, Russia. I think that the guy honestly looks down on a lot of people, because either that or he just doesn't have a true understanding of, one, the mentality of other cultures, you know, and how they have to live, what they have to do every day, how they're treated by their own system, own government, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of, you know. And number two, the passion that drives all of that, you know. So when you look at China, it wants to be number one, right? China wants to control. China wants to be the biggest power. China wants to impose its values on the world. So Russia, not as much. Russia would be happy to stabilize their economy and then pump up with power, but it's, you know, I think it's more about keeping up with the Joneses when it comes to that. So, but North Korea, very small country, not a lot of people. They live horribly. Kim Jong-un is clearly a psychopath. You can easily say that. I'm not trying to label, but you can easily say that from everything that the guy is partaking in. People look at him, his father, his grandfather, like they're gods, and they have that demagogue status among them, you know. So it's very hard to unseat somebody like that unless you play the assassination game. That game should have been played when he went in, you know, in the confusion of his father going and this guy going in, which is a long time ago. That ball was dropped. It was dropped again, dropped again. You know, and even Bush, George W., said it's the axis of evil, North Korea, Iran, and all that. Yeah. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out who is treating their people poorly, you know, to the point where they're just living slaves, you know, and living hostages. And so Kim Jong-un. Now, keep in mind, he may have a missile that can reach Denver on in the perfect weather conditions possible, you know. But now, keep in mind, he doesn't have a warhead small enough to put on it. He's way off in the future for stuff like that. the news accounts coming out that he's got tactical nukes and he's doing this and doing that. The only thing you need to be afraid of in a situation like this, if this guy really wants to be the rogue attacker and attack someone unprovoked, just attack somebody, you know, is one of his crappy submarines and then putting a nuke in that and then sailing that to someone's harbor and then blowing that thing up, if they can even do it. And there's a lot of the submarines that are missing. They thought that they're being fitted for missiles, to launch missiles and whatever. And developing an ICBM is not like, you know, I mean, he has a lot of solid rockets, but an ICBM is an intercontinental ballistic missile, and it has multiple stages. It is rocket science, and then you have to be good at it. And you're talking about North Korea, a culture that is way, way behind when it comes to technology. Whatever he could bargain, whatever he got from us, the United States, in the past, whatever they got from Russia, from China, and they could piecemeal things together. But is he a threat? Yeah. We could have handled that threat a long time ago. Sure. They didn't do it. So that's where things are at. But my problem is when, you know, I don't know, for all my life I've seen these puppet dictators, I've seen these people, they're dwindling, they're going to the wayside, they're being replaced by businessmen who are still dictators, but they just do things differently, you know what I mean? So, the people like Kim Jong-un, he needs to show his people how powerful he is. So here's this little country, little tiny country. They don't produce much, they don't do much, they don't make much. Here they are, standing up to the superpower, United States of America, biggest military might on the planet, right? Knowing fully well that we could completely annihilate the whole place, make it gone, you know, and the push of a button, literally, make it gone. The people there know that. Everyone there knows that. They're probably all scared, you know. There are people in Guam, because he threatened Guam. The people there are scared. People in Alaska, they're scared. There's people all over. In Detroit, people had bought up all of these potassium iodide, these pills. Like, so in case of a nuclear attack, if you're subjected to a low, really low-level dose of radiation, you could take these tablets, and they could help you. But, you know, nuclear attack, if you're getting radiations raining down on you and, you know, you don't have much of a chance, you know what I mean? But people in Detroit are buying these things up. And I don't know if people in Detroit have an idea that somebody actually wants to nuke Detroit. Somebody who is not from Detroit. I mean, like, to say the easier term, if you nuked Detroit, you would never be able to tell the difference, you know what I mean, from the current Detroit. So, but people are panicking, people are afraid, people think that Kim Jong-un has this, all of a sudden, the guy went from nothing to having all this amazing nuclear stuff, you know. He went from letting off a bomb once in a while, and now he's in this arms race because he thought Trump and his warriors were coming after him, and it all the rhetoric and all the posturing and all the stuff led to escalation, and here we are. So you have a psychopath who's scared, and then now all I can nuke Guam, and in 14 minutes I can get a missile to Guam, right? People in Guam are scared, you know, and they don't want to die. Then the government says, well, if there's a large explosion, don't look at the light, all this stuff. But the guy says the same thing every time. I'm going to nuke Guam, you know, if you attack me. So isn't that like someone, yeah, that's somebody backed on into a corner. You know, I'm going to attack you if you attack me. But because he did this, and he stood up to the United States of America, he's not going to stop his missile program. He also stood up to China, Russia, and you know what? Russia has the back door in. With North Korea, Russia recently forgave North Korea $1 billion in debt and made a whole bunch of new trade deals because China ended some of their trade deals, or they put a sunset provision in for some of their deals, like coal and things like that. So Russia comes in and kind of saves the day when it comes to North Korea, saying, we'll support you, right? China, North Korea is thumbing their nose at China because that, Jong Il, with the father, he had a special relationship with Jiang Zemin, which was the last leader of China, So now you have Xi Jinping. Now, Xi Jinping has a whole different mindset than Jiang Zemin. Jiang Zemin, who is still alive in his early 90s, wants to replace Xi Jinping with one of three people that he has handpicked for being leader of China so he can maintain all that control, right? Now, Kim Jong-un is making, Xi Jinping look like an idiot, saying, all right, you better stop your missile stuff, you better lay off. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm not doing anything. I don't have to stop anything. Told him to piss off, which is pretty funny because then that shows his own people that they think that he's some badass and they think that, he stood up to not just the United States, but to China. These huge powers being small North Korea because he's got nuclear warheads. He's got nuclear bombs because he's developing that technology further so he can strike further and all of that, right? So think about all that, man. It's pretty scary when you think about the mentality of some people who actually have control of nuclear weapons. And then Trump, speaking of that, his Mr. Fire and Fury, this is what I've learned. From very, very, I've had an interesting life. I think I've dealt with a lot of people in my life that were guiding lights of wisdom, right? Dennis Dillon, big dude in my life. He was a district attorney of Nassau County for I don't know how many years. I mean, when he retired in his 70s, So this dude taught me a lot of things. He lived in my town, I knew his kids, and he said, never threaten anybody. Don't ever threaten people. He's like, make sure people know what you're capable of, but don't threaten them. And that's really what, that's perfect advice to a Trump. You don't have to be America and threaten people. People understand that we've got the biggest military in the world. You can put all the other militaries together, China, Russia, all their equipment and everything, and it barely comes to about 13% of our complete ability to wage war in our military and everything that we've got and whatever. So when you put things in those terms, especially our technical capability, which is well beyond Russia, well beyond China and all that. And those countries are not used to waging war. We are. So we have seasoned veteran soldiers. We have soldiers. We have, war games that put things in motion that we've learned from war time and time again. That puts you at the advantage. And if you want to wipe somebody out, you can wipe somebody out. Nuclear missiles, it kind of puts everybody on a similar playing field. So now, if you threaten this little tiny country and they have nukes, you got to be careful because, if you go in there, they're going to nuke you. They're going to use what they have to defend themselves, right? But you don't, if you're America, you don't need to say, there'll be fire and fury. Tillerson said that Trump put it in terms that North Koreans would understand. He should have broken into one of those campy routines from back in the day, Jerry Lewis, when he imitated like a Japanese, like, ha ha ha, saw ya. I mean, that's kind of like the ridiculousness of what's going on and the players involved, and then just the lack of insight, and foresight into the whole situation. If I can sit back and see it all, I know other people can too, and it's not guessing, It's not putting together some kind of scenario that might happen. This is the stuff that's happening now. We're in the middle of it. And then at home, across the seas, all over the world, there's unrest, there's violence, there are people hating on each other, people attacking each other, all throughout Europe, man. Is there one country that doesn't have some kind of thing going on now? Is there one country where people are just living in peace? I mean, you have India and China going to war. China says they're counting down the days. So they're fighting over a plateau of land that is in, I don't know, what is it, 40,000 feet in the freaking sky? I mean, really, it's up in the mountains. I think it's like literally 20,000 feet or something. You can't even breathe there. You need masks to breathe. The soldiers that patrol have to patrol with oxygen masks, otherwise they'll pass out. So it's unclaimed land apparently, and now India claims it and China claims it, and they're fighting over that. Oh my God. So can people just live peacefully, and is it all about a land grab, you know? I think that in the end, maybe we'll all be sitting around, have some wine and laugh, but right now you can't even trust the damn media, man. Last week a list came out of the most trusted, not trusted media. So these little surveys you gotta look out for, University of Missouri survey. Like, do I really wanna believe University of Missouri? You know what I mean? Do I really wanna listen to what they have to say? When these little surveys come out, I love the misinformation that they put out. Like there was a marijuana study that people are kicking around right now where it says that there's a link between smoking marijuana and dying from high blood pressure, right? So I'm like, who did the study? It was just, some woman in another one of these situations, a university type situation. But basically, she went and took that data from the US, from the CDC and whatever, and put together a list of anybody who's ever said they smoked marijuana at least once, and then people that died in the future. And then just, I don't know, all the information was just not there. And turns out she's part of a big group that's anti-marijuana. So yeah, follow the money. Who says what and why they're saying it? But I read into it. I'm like, okay, I want to know what's the truth about this. So it wasn't like they had a list of, okay, you have daily smokers, and then because they smoke weed every day, that their increase of dying from high blood pressure goes up every day, or every year with use goes up 1% or whatever. No, it was just a list of a whole bunch of people, and then they filtered out some of the other things, like smoking cigarettes or race, like hypertension that runs in certain groups and all that other stuff. They filtered that out. But the information wasn't really like a case study. Okay, all right, we have 5,000 marijuana users, and then they use fairly regularly, and we're gonna watch how they live, and break them apart into groups, the people who use every day, because there are people who smoke weed every day. There's lots of people that smoke weed every day. As a matter of fact, marijuana use increased among adults, and alcohol use is now going down. So I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things happening. So anyway, I looked into a study about who used what, and then it was very loose. It was just like taking numbers that don't even match and throwing it together and alleging that these people died because at some point they smoked marijuana at least once. Does that even make any sense to you? Like, you're gonna be 13 years old or 19 years old, because I was 13, a kid was smoking weed, man. You know what I mean? And then, people listen to Pink Floyd, smoke weed, doing that back in the day. And now it's legal in a lot of places, so people are out and whatever, out in the open doing that thing. Anyway, you can smoke marijuana once, and then it'll kill you in the future for high blood pressure. It doesn't even make any sense. So I looked at the information on marijuana, the heart, and yeah, it raises your heart rate like anything else. So does alcohol. So does a lot of stuff. But the interesting thing is the Mayo Clinic said that they found evidence suggesting that it actually lowers your blood pressure and not raise your blood pressure. So I'm going to stick with the Mayo Clinic rather than some university, you know. But this university, so these people went and they polled 2,500 people of just who they thought was good in the media and who they thought was bad. But it's interesting that people don't trust, you know, like Breitbart. I wouldn't trust Breitbart, or they listed Donald Trump as a individual news source that they don't trust. InfoWars, Yahoo. And Yahoo's trying to get people back, man. You know, Yahoo was bought and sold. The company was ran to the ground. And now that they're like, you know, oh, you know, we missed you at Yahoo. Please come back and look at our crap and whatever. So all those stories on Yahoo, I just looked at Yahoo and they're all very liberal. They're liberal based. They're like liberal who's attacking, and they still haven't got it. If you want to have news, it can't be either or. You got to be middle of the road and just give people the news instead of selling your agenda. So Yahoo, not a trusted source. Huffington Post, not a trusted source of information. Blaze, Fox, Rush Limbaugh, ABC, MSNBC, all of them. These are just plain old people, which that's why I'm going to go with this. Plain old people, middle of nowhere. This is what they're thinking of what a trusted source in media is. They said the good is like the Associated Press, Politico, The Economist, the BBC, Reuters, public television, The Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, USA Today, and The Atlantic. And I have to say, USA Today is all right. LA Times, you know, is great. Because they were spot on, even the whole election with the polls and everything, man, they were spot on. The Wall Street Journal, any kind of financial paper, you can trust for information, because those investors who read those papers need to know what's going on so they can invest their money. It can't be someone's agenda. It can't be some made-up news, right? So, public television, albeit as boring as you can believe, I would never trust news from Sesame Street, but I would trust other sources. I don't know. Public TV, I don't watch a lot of it. It's also government controlled, so you have to think about that. Reuters is Reuters, you know. I think Reuters kind of uses a lot of computers now to write their articles. So when the information comes in, it just puts it together and puts it out there. You know, that may be good, maybe bad. It really depends on the information and how it was collected and what they're putting out there. And then, you know, news stories, when they happen, it's always like, you know, 300 people died in the plane crash or whatever. And then they keep changing the story throughout the day, and it turns out that, you know, the plane didn't even crash, nobody died, whatever. You know what I mean? They make stuff up. BBC, I like, but BBC also controlled by money, man. The Economist, I like The Economist. I think they're fairly honest. Politico, I don't think so. You know, a little bit. It really depends on the story, but you know, they're still pushing an agenda, right? And the Associated Press, again, you know, Associated Press like Reuters, using computers, you know, basically using artificial intelligence to put together their news reports. So I don't know. I think that I don't trust a lot of them, and the ones that I do, I just take with a grain of salt. You know, usually one of them runs with a story, the rest of them run with the same story, and then they don't change much of the wording. I like details. I like news sources that give me the details. I want to know what's involved, you know. A lot of them just kind of, you know, hash over things and they don't get into the details of it all. So, I don't know, man. I think it's all good though in the world of entertainment, because, you know, if you are a liberal, you're gonna watch Rachel Maddow, unless you hate her. You know what I mean? Unless you can't stand her. Like she just—I don't know. You know what? I can appreciate what she does. She's a snake oil salesman. She puts on a show. You know, I don't do the same stuff. I wouldn't do the same stuff. I don't play people's emotions. I don't look for that type of thing. But Rachel Maddow, Sean Hannity, they should both be duct taped together and dumped in the ocean, right? They're both the same. And that's not a threat. Mind you, there's a lot of people being overly sensitive these days. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for what people should leave behind. And if you really want to know the news, you know what? I listen to 1010 Winds, man. It's going to sound crazy. I grew up with 1010 Winds Radio on Long Island, and I have a radio app on my phone where I can listen to any station virtually. I listen to 1010 Winds. I like it. It's just news. It's not made up stuff. It's not an agenda. It's just the news, and the people that read it aren't going to push their own personal opinion. They're just going to read the news. So I love that. I can appreciate that. There is some still real journalism out there, if you look for it. It's too bad we have to look so hard. Cable news, you're not going to find it. Really? Name me one cable channel that can hold their head high saying, we're really the news. The second that CNN, although I have to say, I do like Ted Turner in many ways, man. I think he's, well, was an innovator. I think that the guy brought something to people. I think that he's a great environmentalist too, and things like that, the things I respect about him. But CNN was the beginning of the end because it was for-profit news. Whereas the other news channels, those people just were investigative reporters. They dug through dirt. They got the right story. They didn't just take someone's word for something and then run and print it. They actually dug for the truth. They're true investigators, better than any detective on the streets, man. And then that went to the wayside, over years and years and years of all kinds of things, even lawsuits against papers, whatever. But then the big news came in, like CNN, cable news opened up. It opened up a 24-hour news channel. People checked it out. It was all about advertising. And then eventually they played the game. Hey, we're gonna sell this story, we're not gonna sell that story. And that's what it is. When they run a news story, they think how much money they can make from it. So when they race hate, when they put out and they put all that race hate and play race cards and get people hating each other on there, that's money in their pockets. And that's the example of evil. I don't know, man. Making money off of somebody else's misery. That's CNN. That should be their tagline. You know what I mean? Fox 2 does the same thing. Fox is full of crap. And when you listen to these people, Sean Hannity, right? This dude is a reverend. I don't know if you guys know his religious background. He was a reverend. He had a big following. In fact, he's on the radio also. And on the radio, he hawks his book. He has a book of Bible codes. And they claim if you buy this book of Bible codes, you're going to become filthy rich because it actually uncodes the Bible and it's going to give you some mysterious view into whatever where you need to put that money in your bank account. Now, any normal, actual, regular old person out there of average intelligence, man, plain old people, us, we the people, hears something like that and says, what? Are you crazy? That sounds crazy. But there are people that are susceptible to receiving that kind of message, and then they peel the money out of their pockets. And then some people, like people who give to religion, they'll give to this pastor because he's going to say, you're going to go to hell if you don't send this money. Or he's going to say, I'm going to go to hell if you don't send this money, right? And people do. People will sacrifice their own money for their own food, their bills to pay, stuff for their kids, and send it to these pastors so they can live in these unbelievable mansions and have private aircraft and live a rich person's life on the name of Jesus Christ, right? Or whatever deity they're pushing. So Oral Roberts did this twice. He went on and he said, the devil's going to come take me unless I get $5 million. Seriously, people sent him that $5 million. 2 weeks later, he did it again for 10 million. People sent him the $10 million. They didn't want him, the devil, to take him. They didn't want him to go to hell. That's how lame brained some people are. And you have to say, yeah, lame brain or just undeveloped or not educated. And you know what education offers? This is the deal. This is why you need an education system that doesn't push any agenda. Because educating somebody is supposed to lift you up to a certain level so you can make your own informed, educated choices yourself. So some government body, some millionaire doesn't come by, or some billionaire doesn't come by and says, "You need to feel this. You need to think. You should be outraged. Look at all these things." They don't know your life. I'm outraged over the price of milk. I'm outraged over the price of gasoline. It keeps going up. It's up to over $3 a gallon locally where I am in upstate New York, middle of nowhere. Meanwhile, the price of oil is way down, right? So yeah, you don't need some wealthy person or anybody to tell you what to think. You need to be educated so you can make those choices, so you won't get fooled again. Like the song from The Who, "You won't get fooled again," you know? So yeah, shame me once. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I got that right. But that's what it comes down to. It comes down to proper education. So, the government pushes education. And when you look at these kids now who are 14, 15, 16, getting into high school and doing all this, they've been pre-programmed by the last administration, and their views on things are really twisted. Now it's like the opposite. So really, politics needs not to be in education. Religion needs not to be in education. You can talk about it. You can have your prayer groups if you want. If Muslims can have a prayer group, then Jewish people should have that, then Christians should have it. Yeah, sure. Who cares? You know what? If people want to do that on their own time, they can do that. That's fine. I'm not hurting anybody. So you can't say Merry Christmas in school. So now that's making a comeback. All the stuff, like all the stuff that people weren't allowed to do. Now they're like, ha ha, and they're taking the ground back, and then it's causing this weird rush of energy that's not healthy. I don't think it's healthy, man. I think that there needs to be an ebb and flow to everything. There should be a negotiation or a debate to everything. Nobody should ever tell you what to do or think, how to dress, how to be. If someone wants to live out their life a certain way and they're not hurting anybody, then they should be able to do that. And it's that simple, because nobody should be judging anybody. And I think that basically all this religious text you want to read, that's the first thing that a God says, is that you don't put anyone before me, and then you don't let people tell you what to do. It also talks about false prophets a lot, and then the stuff that's going to happen to them and all that goodness, man. So you know what? Keep your head low, admit to nothing. My brothers and sisters down there in New Orleans, man, I talked about your pumping system a few days ago and how it's not adequate. And then now there's flooding going on all over the place, and there's more rain on the way, and more flooding. You know what? It's just bad leadership, because I researched it. There are pumps they could put in place that pump out several inches of water per hour. The pumping systems in place now in New Orleans pump out water 1 inch per hour, and then a half inch every hour after that. That's unacceptable. If you get, 6 or 7 inches of water or 8 inches of water in a few hours, you're talking about big flooding, So my heart's out to you, all you guys down there that are suffering through that, but it doesn't have to be. Anyway, I'm going to end the show with that. My heart's also out to people in Virginia. I hope nobody gets hurt, but no one else gets hurt. The police need to lock the place down. They need to get rid of the troublemakers, man, and then keep other troublemakers out, man, because this could explode into other cities, other places. It's Saturday night. The weather's right, believe it or not. That sounds weird, but I'm from the city, man. And when you have good weather on nights like this and people get heated, or if it's like hot, not hot where it's oppressive, where you can't move, but hot, because that's when people get heated too. This is riots happen. This is when stuff breaks loose. This is when all kinds of terrible things happen. So my heart goes out to all of them. Send them some good energy, man. This is Michael Angley on Michael Angley Live saying good night to y'all and be safe. And then I will see you guys at the daily update Monday through Friday. Good night.
give it to you.